Blessed morning to all of you. Today, I'm going to conclude our preaching series on 3 B's, the core values of the church. Over the last 4 weeks, we have unpacked each of the B's, unpacked the core values. We have 3 core values: belong, believe, and bless. And like I shared with you all last week, this is not something that had come from the elders, from the leadership. This is not something we coined ourselves. But this had come because we had looked into God's Word in response to God's call to us to return to Him, to become His people. And so we've looked into His Word, we had studied, we had prayed, and in the end, we felt that God was directing us to really embrace these 3 values so that we can be the kind of people that He wants us to be. And actually, I was very, very encouraged when last year when we met with the bigger group of leaders that they reaffirmed this, reaffirmed our core values of the 3 B's. And so today, I want to wrap up on this, and the text that will be used I will be using is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. So let me just quickly go through what we have covered. The importance of the 3 B's. Basically, we have 3. We covered the 3 importance of the 3 B's. First, the 3 B's define our identity. They tell us who we are, that we are God's people. And secondly, they shape our culture and our practices. We are a certain kind of people. We have a certain kind of culture. And finally, it supports our vision, which is the city on the hill vision. Now, the reason we are sharing this is not to provide information, not to increase your knowledge, or not to, you know, reaffirm your knowledge or reinforce that knowledge. But the sharing of the 3 B's to the body of Christ here is for us to remember that we need to really receive, really need to embrace, and then live out these values so that we can experience life in the body, the community of faith that God wants us to be, so that we can grow and mature into Christ-likeness, so that we can become a blessing to our community, to our neighborhood, by meeting felt needs, by being missional, and by sharing the Word of God. Last week, I had lunch with Bunwei and Asha, so she asked me this question. So now you shared about the 3 B's, so what's going to happen? All right, what's going to happen? And so this message is where, you know, the rubber meets the road. And I'm going to show you how we can embrace these 3 B's, okay? And I believe we are already doing that. But I just want to challenge us to really, really be committed to this. We believe in this church that the best way to experience the 3 B's is through our cell groups, okay? This is taken from our website. But let me read. Our cell groups are our basic body life and disciple-making units. The CG is where we practice the 3 B's of belonging, believing, and blessing. Through our CGs, members are integrated into God's family. In CGs, members experience body life in a safe atmosphere of mutual love, sharing, caring, and edification. It is also the place where authentic relationships are formed. The CG is also the place where we grow and mature in our faith. The focus of studying God's Word is thus transformational rather than informational. We seek to be transformed by God's Word, that we might be the Christ-mastered kind with depth in grace, growth, and godliness. Finally, we also believe that the CGs provide an excellent platform for us to bless individuals and families in our neighborhood and community. By meeting felt needs, we believe we can be God's light that shines in the darkness and the channels of God's love, grace, mercies, and kindness. You know, I think if you look into websites of churches, you know, you will find some kind of statement like this. You know, like I said earlier, you know, when we came up with the three B's, it's the result of studying God's word. It's the result of prayer. And so I want to tell you today that there is actually a biblical basis for the three B's. And let's look at the early church, the first church. You know, during the day of Pentecost, the church was birthed. Okay? The church was birthed when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And when Peter stood up to preach, the Spirit empowered him. You know, there were about 120 of them gathered, but when Peter stood up to preach under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people, about 3,000 people were added to their number. So the church experienced an explosive growth, you know. Means you talk about modern Zen church. Last year it grew by 25%, more than this church. But that church from 120 grew to over 3,000. One sermon. Okay? One sermon that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so, when that happened, okay, this is the context for this passage in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2. Let's read it. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I want us to note this. It said that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So the first church, they met corporately in the temple. And it was every day. Every day they went to the temple to meet as this big body of Christ. But also, they met in homes. They broke bread in homes. May I suggest to you that the first church had cell groups? And not only that, every member, every believer was a member of a cell group. The early church had cell groups, and every believer was a member of one cell group. And then as we read the epistles, we realize that the early church often met in homes. They were small groups. So means you be encouraged, you know. Doesn't matter, four people, five people, that's the church planted by God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be very, very effective. And so we read from Romans 16, you know, Paul's greetings. He said, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house." And these small house churches were greatly used by God. They were crucial in the growth and expansion of the early church. They grew. The early church grew because they were really organized into small groups and they were very effective. And so, I would like to suggest to you that the first church, the Jerusalem church, they were committed to the three B's. First, they were committed to belonging to the body of Christ. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Some versions say to fellowship. But I think this is a better translation. They committed themselves to the body of Christ, to the breaking of bread, eating together. They were together, they had everything in common. And they enjoyed the favor of all the people. They were also committed to the B of believing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to prayer and to praising God. And they were also committed to the third B of blessing. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Signs and wonders were happening and people were being blessed. You know, they sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. They blessed the poor. They blessed the needy. So they were committed to that. And you know what happened? God worked. God worked. I would like to suggest to you that God worked not because they had programs, you know, but because they were an authentic community of faith. They were living out their faith. They were fulfilling God's commandments. They were being God's people. They had love for one another, and Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. Love, meeting needs, sacrificial giving, that identified themselves as the people of God. And as they did life together, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. You know, so when we say that we are committed to the three B's and we believe strongly in cell groups, we are looking at the early church, the first church, and we see them doing that. And we also want to believe that we can become this authentic community of faith and we can become an impact where God has planted us. So what does it look like for us here in Ferris Park Baptist Church when we say that as we are committed to the core values of the three B's, that the best way of living this out and experiencing this is through ourselves. So when you look at the first B, we belong to the body of Christ and we are members of one body. You know, Paul wrote quite a bit about unity to the church at Corinth because they had a problem with disunity among the members. Listen to what he said to them. He told them this, now you are the body of Christ and each of you is a part of it. And he said, the body is one unit. Though it is made up of many parts and though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. You are all members of one body. We want to emphasize that we are members of one body of Christ. Pastor Ray Stedman has this to say about the body, right? There are a number of doctors here. You can testify whether this is correct. But this is what he said. He said, the essence of a body is that it consists of thousands of cells with one mutually shared life. Asha, so far okay? So far okay, good, all right. A body is not produced by combining bits and pieces of anatomy together. Yeah, and I was thinking of the bone song. The foot bones connected to the ankle bones connected to the... You don't know your anatomy? All right. It's not just connecting all the bones together, you know, it's the foot bone to the ankle bone and the leg bone and the knee bone and the thigh bone and the hip bone and the back bone and the neck bone and the head bone. You put all the bones together, but if there is no life, it's just what? Skeleton. And so the essence of a body is that it consists of thousands of cells with one mutually shared life. And a body is formed by the growth and multiplication of many cells from one original cell and the life of every other cell in the body. And so the secret of the body, all parts of the body share life together. As in the human body, the same life is in every cell of the body, so in Christ, the same life, the life of Christ, pervades every part of the body of Christ. So we are members of one body, the body of Christ. But Paul didn't stop there. He said, you are members of one body, but you are members of one another. All right, the scriptures there, Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Andy, you belong to Samantha, but also you belong to me, okay? Not in the same way you belong to Samantha. You belong to me and I belong to you because we are all members of one body, the body of Christ. So Paul is saying we are called to belong and to commit to one another. And so when we do that, Paul said there should be no division in the body and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, if one part of your body is in pain, you don't say, it doesn't matter. You're affected. And that's how it is when we belong. And so this belonging to one another is described as koinonia, all right, which is the Greek word for fellowship. Now remember that when we started going back and started heeding God's call to us to return to Him, to become His people again, we were very encouraged by the teachings of Pastor Ray Stedman on body life. And he said this, I'm going to read this to you, it's up there. The church must become the church God intended it to be. The church must become the church God intended it to be. And obviously, Ray Stedman must have noticed something wrong with churches. We must become the kind of Christians God intended us to be. We must learn again to practice deep koinonia, fellowship, carrying one another's burdens, sharing one another's hurts, confessing to one another, rejoicing with one another, encouraging one another, celebrating the diversity of our gifts and abilities while maintaining the unity of the Spirit. We must rediscover the meaning of body life, the amazing energy and empowerment God gives to His people when they live in close, loving, caring community with Him and with one another. We need to rediscover that. Koinonia speaks of a fellowship where there is sharing together, where there is communion that is not superficial, but that happens at a deep level. And so when this happens, this ministry of one another takes place. And in the Bible, you will find that there are more than 50 one another commands. Let me give you some. Jesus said, wash one another's feet. Now, He's saying this not because there's a problem with dirty feet, but He's saying that you need to serve one another. You need to be humble. And then He said, love one another, John 13:34. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, Romans 12:10. honor one another above yourselves, Romans 12:10. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you. Carry each other's burdens. Encourage one another. Build each other up. We can do this one another ministry in a big church, but it is really better when we do this one another kind of life in a small group. Smaller is better. The smaller the group is, okay, not until it becomes a clique, okay? The more like community it feels, the bigger the group, the less like community it feels. Small groups promote deeper friendship. Deeper friendships that double the accountability. You know, small groups promote that accountability because you live in close contact. It promotes intimacy, authenticity, and transparency over time. And in small groups, everybody participates. There's maximum participation. Every member, the Bible says, has a significant contribution to make because God has given everyone spiritual gifts. And so I asked the cell group leaders to send me photos of their CGs in action. So I'm going to show you, okay, some photos. Unfortunately, because of time and because some of the... I really didn't know how to copy photos, so I'm just using my cell group, which I think is the best cell group in this church. Belonging, all right? We feel like family in our cell. All right? And we study the Word of God together. We praise the Lord together. We do fun things together. Okay? This was taken last year when the women went for the full sail ministry. Yeah? So the men said, okay, yeah, we will continue cell group, but no Bible. All right? So Edward hosted the cell. Yeah, he ordered pizza. What's that? Personal pizza. Less than 5 ringgit only. Yeah? Less than 5 ringgit. Right? We gorged ourselves on pizza. And then the boys, that day, the men became boys. And we played carom, and some played, was it PlayStation or FIFA? All right? Yeah, and the bottom left-hand picture, Suhin was just impatiently waiting for his turn to play. Okay. And as a cell, we went on retreats, on holidays together. We went on 4 retreats. First time we went to Lost World in Tambun. Second time we went to Cameron Highlands, Moon River Lodge. Third time we went to Cameron Highlands again, OMF Bungalow. 2 years ago we went to Chiang Mai. And so we really experienced this one another ministry. Yeah, I forgot to say we ate a lot as well. All right, and the men were playing football while the ladies were playing badminton. Okay, I know some groups even played mahjong. Okay, not gambling, for fun. All right. So we really experience belong. In the cell group, you really have the opportunity to experience that. The second B of belief. Last week I shared that, really the ultimate goal of every follower of Jesus is to grow and mature into Christ-likeness. Ephesians 4:13, Paul said that it was his prayer and that Christ gave to the church the fivefold ministers so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, when I was about 16 years old, I really had this blessed opportunity to become a friend to Major Ian Thomas. I wonder if any of you know who this person is, Major Ian Thomas. For some reason, we connected. I attended the Keswick meeting, and he was a speaker there, and we connected. And I met with him one-on-one on a number of occasions. And he wrote something in my Bible. He said, and this is what he wrote, "All of Christ in all of you. All of Christ in all of you." And I think this is what God desires. All of Jesus Christ in all of us. That is attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Last week I talked about this. God has predestined for all of us to be conformed to the image of His Christ, of His Son, to be like Him. You know, cell groups provide the ideal platform for spiritual growth and maturity. Richard Foster, in his article, "Becoming Like Christ," he said this, "Essential to our growth is a community life. Essential to our growth is a community life where there is loving, nurturing accountability. Christ-likeness is not merely the work of the individual. Rather, it grows out of a matrix of a loving fellowship." It grows out of a loving fellowship. "We are the body of Christ together, called to watch over one another in love." There's an African proverb that says, "It takes a village to raise a child." It takes a village to raise a child. It takes the body of Christ. It takes a community of faith to raise believers in their faith. This is what I believe, and I believe that this is supported by Scripture. You know, cell groups provide for better learning. Listening to a sermon is a good way to learn the Word of God. That's why we have sermons. But it is easy to become detached or daydream during a sermon. You agree or not? Easy to drift away. Okay. Now it's even easier to drift away when you have a smartphone. But what happens is, while listening to the Word of God is important, we become passive listeners. We become passive learners. We just sit back and basically, you know, I mean, it's up to us. But we are not really actively engaged if we are not careful. But not so in a cell group setting. Every individual is expected to become, to be involved and to participate. You know, when we have discussion questions, they go around, you know, "What's your opinion? What do you think?" You know. There's no way to hide. But this is a good way, this is a more effective way to learn. And someone said, small groups are where much of the theology taught in our pulpits, in our pulpits begins to be fleshed out in conversation and action. So now we are discussing sermons in the cells. We engage in a 2-year-plus study on SRM. And it was really a long journey, okay? But those who persevered to the end, I want to encourage Jen, the group persevered to the end. They finished all the 6 sections. And I'm sure they benefited. They learned a lot. Boys to Men, you know, they actively study the Word of God. They actively, you know, use the Bible. They look into the Bible to address questions concerning their faith. So what we are looking for is active learning, and cell groups provide for that. Cell groups also allow for mutual edification. Now, it is easy to depend upon the professionals, the pastors, the teachers, to provide us with spiritual food. But the truth is, every one of you, every believer, every child of God has been given spiritual gifts for the benefit of the whole church. And so, in a small group setting, opportunities abound for you to use your spiritual gifts. And if you don't know it, it's an opportunity, it's an avenue for you to find out what your gifts are. And all these will happen naturally in a small group. And when this happens, the whole group, everybody is edified. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, I have the privilege of being in the eldership with three other brothers. You know, they're all very different. Elvin is very missional. Raymond is very, you know, he's a high flyer spiritually. Chun is a person who came, you know, who found his faith, who became a believer, Mingxiu in all places, Japan. You know. He carries very little baggage, you know. Me, I'm more traditional. So four of us, every time we meet, we quarrel, we wrestle in our minds with our thoughts and all that, you know. Chun will always say, you know, you've done this. I will always say, we've always done this way. And then you say, well, is it biblical? You know, well, is it biblical? And so one man sharpens another. Cell groups provide a way for Christians to live out their faith. Whether we are discussing the sermon or sharing about our spiritual journey, our highs and lows, praying for one another. And praying for one another in the cell is really focused praying. Cell groups create a context for Christians to live out their faith in real life. You know, at our last cell group meeting, we were talking about how we as parents can effectively pass on our faith to our children, so that we can leave behind a rich legacy of faith and our children will receive the torch from us and run with even greater passion. And then very, very important, cell group is the place where leaders are discovered. Important place for leadership development. In a cell group, someone has to be the leader. Someone has to lead worship. Someone has to facilitate discussion. Someone has to look into the logistics. In our cell group, Suhin does all that. Yeah? No. As I was thinking about this, you know, in most cell groups, they'll be very happy if they can find a musician, a guitarist who can play three chords. C, F, G. Enough already, yeah? Three chords. All your songs will have to be in the key of C, but they'll be very happy, even if they sing the same three songs every... But, you know, that's kind of a stepping stone. You come to Raymond and say, Raymond, I want to be in the worship team. And Raymond says, how many chords do you know? Three chords. He says, you're not ready. But in a cell group, you learn to become a leader if you have that potential, you know. And I really noticed that in my cell, there are many people who are ready to step up here and preach, ready to become elders. So cell groups help to cultivate leadership within the church. I have no photos to show you because it's a bit funny taking photos of people studying the Bible. Let's move to the last B, bless. Ephesians 2:10, and this Raymond shared a bit on this. We are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have been blessed to be a blessing. God has saved us for good works. And as Raymond reminded us, not only good works, but God works. And the cell is where a lot of blessing takes place. Cell groups provide an ideal way to care for needs. When one member of a cell is struggling, whether it's financially, emotionally, spiritually, socially, it is easier for these needs to be noticed if you're in a small group. And it's easier for the person who is struggling to receive help. Because the structure of a small group is essentially a community of believing and supporting friends and family who help one another. You know, last year I shared about my struggles with depression. And, you know, I was really, really helped through that difficult period because I was blessed by the brothers in my cell. Suhin and Bunwei took me out, you know, for a nice dinner. And we had a good conversation together. They prayed for me. I felt loved. I felt blessed. And I want to thank Joel. Joel, you are really a good shepherd, filled with love. And my family is very, very thankful for the kind of care, the kind of blessing that you've provided for my father. You have been a friend. You've been a brother. You've been a family to us. So you have blessed us. Very important also, cell group also provides really an ideal setting for evangelism to take place. Cell groups provide a comfortable introduction for non-believers to the Christian faith. It's easier to invite a non-believer to your home fellowship than to invite him to a church. And when they are with the small group, when they are in this community of believers, as they watch believers live out their faith, as they listen to them pray, as they listen to them share about God's work in their lives, and as they learn more about God's truth from the Bible, you know, the non-believer is more likely to ask questions. He's more likely to get answers to his questions. Todd Poulter once asked me this question: when does discipleship happen? After a person has received Christ or before? When does discipleship happen? After the person has accepted Jesus or before that? You know, it didn't take me very long to answer that question. You actually disciple a person into faith. And cell group provides for that. Max Lucado, this writer, he said this about the importance of the home fellowship. He said, long before the church had pulpits and Baptist trees, she had kitchens and dinner tables. Something still on the right track, huh? Even a casual reading of the New Testament unveils the house as the primary tool of the church. The primary gathering place of the church was the home. The early church, with its varied backgrounds, got along without the aid of sanctuaries, church buildings, clergy, or seminaries. They had no buildings. They had no full-time staff. They had no seminaries. They did so through the clearest of messages, the cross, and the simplest of tools, the home. That's enough. Something holy happens around a dinner table that will never happen in a sanctuary. In a church auditorium, you see the backs of heads. That's why we try to make some arrangement. Around the table, you see the expressions on faces. Church services are on the clock. Around this time, you are restlessly looking at your watch. Around the table, there is time to talk. I know Kenny's cell sometimes does not finish until after midnight. Yeah? Because there's time to talk. When you open your door to someone, you're sending this message. You matter to me and to God. You may think you are saying, come over for a visit, but what your guests hear, and this is most important, is this: I am worth the effort. I am worth the effort. Stuck. Pastor Brian Morgan says, our home fellowships are more important than having big group meetings in a fancy church building. Quiet homes opening up for evangelism will always be more effective than an organized program. So you're talking about blessing within the church. What about blessing outside of the church? Cell groups allow for us to be missional, to let our light shine before men through good works. Cell groups enable us to break the big task of the Great Commission. It's a big task. We can break it into smaller, manageable, and realistic units. When you think about making disciples of all nations, you don't know where to start. But in a cell group, you are able to think about fulfilling this Great Commission when you break it into smaller units. You know, last year, Chun and Edward and Keith and another father brought their sons to an orphanage in Chiang Mai. They went there to bless the children of the orphanage. They went there to build a playground for them. They blessed the orphans there. But I believe that they also experienced a great blessing of blessing other people. You know, I shared just now that 2 years ago, myself, we went to Chiang Mai. You know, it was a holiday. It was a holiday with a missions, with an emphasis on missions. Now, we are all ordinary people. But in our mission trip to Care Corner Orphanage in Chiang Mai, you know, I think that, you know, you should consider next time you go for a holiday, go and stay at an orphanage. Go and stay at a children's home, you know. And something happens in your spirit. So they were all, you know, my cell group people were involved in school ministry. They went to a school to share the gospel. Schools there were open to people coming to share about the gospel. They were very happy to receive us, you know. And we spent time with the children playing games. And then Suhin shared a very simple message about what happens when you receive Jesus into your heart. He shared a message about forgiveness of sin. You know, and of course, you know, I think the great attraction were the two boys. You see on the, yeah. The children were clamoring around the two boys, Isaac and Josiah. Yeah. So we were involved in school ministry. And in a simple presentation, there were people who raised up their hands when they were asked whether they would want to receive Jesus into their hearts. And then they were involved in chapel ministry. You know, when they left, I told them, each of you take one sermon. You must share message during the chapel meeting. And so they did. So I shared, Suhin shared, Boon Wei shared. Cheng Hock somehow managed to escape, okay? I don't know how he managed to, but he managed to escape, right? And they shared, you know. And the children were involved in presenting an action song. And so because there are many doctors in my cell. They were also involved in medical ministry. You see this picture. We went to visit Karen Tribe Village and prayed for people who were sick, and the doctors sprung into action. We went to another tribal village near the border of Myanmar. This is called Happy Home for orphans and underprivileged children, okay, started by Pastor Ricky Tan. And again, you know, they were involved in medical ministry. And the children also were involved in preparing Christmas gifts for the children at the orphanage. I want also to mention Joel. Again, Joel, every year his cell group will be involved in a Christmas outreach. He would have a Christmas outreach at the food court at Hillside. He would do that just to bless the people there and share the gospel. You know, many of you here are very generous people. And when my wife and I went to Nepal last year, members of my cell group gave close to 10,000 ringgit for the children at Peace Home. Close to 10,000 ringgit. And I'm really amazed by that. So because we have an AGM, I'm going to close now. So as a response, this is Jem. Let me just encourage all of us. If you are part of the body of Christ here, I encourage you to really, really embrace these core values. Belong to this family. Don't just attend, you know. All right? And I say this, you know, with love. Attending is good, but it is better for you to belong to a small group. Belong to a small group and experience body life at a deeper level. Connect with one another at a deeper level. Embrace belief and in the cell so that you can grow and mature into Christ-likeness. And embrace bless. Be a blessing. You know, I know that for some of you, you have good reasons as to why you're not in a small group. And really, our desire is for everyone, our desire is for most, if not for everyone, to be plugged into cells. Okay? Because we have AGM, we are not going to do this, but beginning next week, we're going to have, we want to allow you all to sign up for cells. But we want to do this. I want to experiment with this. This was also suggested by Todd Poulter. He said that, you know, for some of you, you really cannot find a cell. The times are not suitable. But we would like our cell leaders, our cell groups to adopt you so that you are still part of a cell. Even though you may not be able to attend regularly, but you are a member of a cell because you have been adopted into that cell. Okay? I just want to say that, you know, at times, I feel tired, and I wish that I do not have to attend cell group meetings. Honest confession. But every time I go, I come away blessed. I come away blessed by the fellowship of my brothers and sisters. I come away blessed by the sharing of God's word. I come away blessed just to be with family. Okay? Let me close here. I'm going to ask Raymond to come. I want to close with this song. We are the body of Christ. Just to remind us that, you know, we are members of the body of Christ and we are members of one another. But let's pray first. Father God, I pray, O Lord, that even as we have gone through 5 weeks and we have thought about the three B's again, the B's of belonging and believing and blessing. I pray, O God, that, Lord, you will help us to really embrace this, to know that, Lord, this is something that is biblical, O Lord. And this is something that will allow us to really experience body life that you want us to experience. This is something that will help us to grow in maturity and into Christ-likeness. And this is an excellent opportunity, O Lord, for us to bless one another, to be involved in the one another ministry, and to become missional, O Lord, to share our faith with those who do not yet know you. I pray, O God, that you will protect the unity of this church. I pray that, O God, that you will help us, O Lord, as we really look out for one another, that, Lord, we will be like shining stars, O Lord. Shining stars that will hold out the word of truth in a world that is dark, in a world where there's great unbelief, oh Lord. Help us to become that attractive community of faith. Help us, oh Lord, to do good works in the name of Jesus and in love, oh Lord, so that people will see our good works and give praise to the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Let's all stand as we sing the song. We are the body of Christ.
One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the glory of Christ.
Sing it one more time. One heart, one spirit.
One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ.
Pray that even as we have asked, O Lord, for unity, unity in spirit, unity in heart, unity in vision, unity in voice, O Lord. I pray, O God, that you will help us, O Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to be the visible body of Christ out there, Lord, where we work, where we study, where we go about our daily lives, that we will be that visible body of Christ, O Lord. That people will know who you are, O Lord. People will know that you're the one true God. And they will know Jesus, the one who died for their sins, so that they might have forgiveness, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. I pray, O God, that you will bless us, O Lord. You will empower us, O Lord. And that, God, you will favor us, O God. Protect us and provide for all of our needs, O Lord. And I pray, O God, as we move on to our annual family meeting, O Lord, that you will help us, O Lord, to really have that family spirit, that oneness, O Lord. And that, God, you will just lead us and guide us throughout the meeting, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless all of you. We invite the members to stay back for...